Matthew 24, verse number 32. Bible says, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that hour, a day and hour, knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." And I'm going to name the sermon out of verse 44, "Be ye also ready." Be ye also ready. Heavenly Father, please, Lord, may we be stirred by this tried and true, proven doctrine of the Bible. Lord, help us not to be as the five wise virgins, yes, with our oil, but slumbering and sleeping. I pray, Lord, that we would awake to righteousness, awake to the coming of Christ. May our hearts be stirred, Lord. We have to pray with Brother John, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." And Lord, our hearts are stirred for your coming. We live in anticipation of it. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us, Lord, to be busy being what we ought to be and doing what we ought to do, so that when you come, Lord, we'll be found watching. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm spilling over out of the Sunday school lesson just a little bit into the morning service. We just briefly said a few words about the rapture, teaching out of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. I think I can say this with all confidence, and I think you would agree, this world is a mess that we're living in. It's an utter mess. My heart, I was telling our Sunday school class, was just literally pained this week to watch the news coming out of Colorado and the craziness. But the honest truth is, folks, that's just one of many stories. This world is reflective of the days of Noah. The Bible says in verse 37 there, "But as the days of Noah were, so also the coming of the Son of Man be." Well, what describes the days of Noah? Well, let me read the description. Genesis 6:5, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." And I think if we could have an interview with Almighty God, we might hear similar words coming out of his mouth, a similar feelings in his heart concerning the generation and the culture that he has and is viewing even now. I said this in our Sunday school hour. I said that there was a story I read this week concerning people that, and I guess this is just a story, I don't think it's true, but some of the best illustrations aren't true. They just make a good point, you know. But the little story I read out of an article that came in a magazine this week was concerning a group of people that were stranded on a deserted island. And the ship captain finally spotted their signals of distress. They'd been there for some time, and so he sent a boat from the main ship towards the shore and stopped a little bit away from the shore, and he told the first mate, "Throw these newspapers up on the beach and have them read the newspaper, and then ask them if they still want to be picked up and rescued." And I have to say that I kind of understand that. I'm not sure after reading the papers for the last 5 days, I think I want to be rescued. I want to be rescued out of here. Story is told about a lion that escaped from the from the zoo. And he got out of his cage. One of the keepers left the door ajar, and he got out of his cage, and he ran out into the street. Of course, people are screaming and running. And the lion looked around at the human race and all that was outside the walls of his cage, and he turned around and ran right back into his cage there. And I can share his feelings about that. I don't know about you, but I'm longing for the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, I think it'd be great if the Lord came on August 3rd. Don't you think that would be a wonderful day for the Lord to come again? And all God's people said August 3rd would be a wonderful time for Jesus. I just can't get my youngest daughter excited about the doctrine of the rapture right now. I just can't. She's just totally unspiritual in that area of her life right now. But folks, we need to be ready. We need to be ready because it's coming on. It's coming on. Can you not discern the signs of the time? That's what Jesus asked them. Can you not discern the signs of the time? I believe that Jesus is coming back, and I believe it's up to us to be ready. Now, preacher, how can I make sure I'm ready for Jesus to come back? Number one, you must be saved to be ready. Let me just say this. You don't want to be left behind. You don't want to be left behind. Did you notice the text there in verse 40 and 41? Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. One of the saddest verses in all the Bible. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. And the honest truth is, when Christ comes, not everybody's going. In Matthew chapter 25, can we read that? We're right there. The parable of the 10 virgins. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. And the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Notice the finality of it. Afterwards they came also other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he said and answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. You know, I can't read this without saying this, folks. Listen to me. And I say it from time to time, and it's good that I say it. Don't tire of it. But I worry so much that if the rapture were to happen, would there be members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church sitting here in the pew? Folks, church membership doesn't save you. You must be born again. I mean that. I'm not trying to get anybody that's saved to doubt your salvation. I see no profit in that. There is no profit in that. But I've always said this. Your salvation ought to be able to stand up to a Holy Bible, Holy Ghost examination. And if you're not saved, please be saved today. Don't let the sin of pride send you to hell. There's no pride in hell. There's no pride in hell. You'll be begging for a drop of water. There's no pride in hell. You see, watch this. Here we have 12 or 10 virgins, and I think from all outward appearances, all of them seem clean and seem ready and seem good. And I'm sure if the world went by and saw them, they would think, all of those young ladies are good girls, and all of them are Christian girls, but just because they look the same on the outside didn't mean that what they had on the inside was the same. The oil representing the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And when somebody's saved, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of them, readies them for the rapture. Just make sure that you're ready. I had an interesting, let's tell Mom about this a little bit this morning, but I had an interesting experience this week. And you know the ministry that we, our church supports in Eufaula, Oklahoma, Calvary Boys Home, the ranch that they put on there. What an amazing ministry. If you ever get out that way, honestly, it'd be worth, if you're heading out that direction, planning a family vacation, it'd be worth diverting down and seeing the Calvary Boys Home. It'll stir your heart what they're doing there. They had a teen camp there, and two preachers preaching this week to the teenagers. I was preaching, and Brother Dawson, Pastor Dawson from Arkansas, watch this. he gave his testimony on, I think it was Tuesday night. He gave his testimony. Get this. The man had been pastoring for 10 years before he got saved. Pastoring for 10 years before he got saved. He shared that testimony with the kids. You say, preacher, how in the world does that happen? Well, he was raised up actually in a church of God. And that particular church he went to, they taught that at 5 years of age was the age of accountability. And so the day he turned five, his dad sat down and said, you need to get saved. You don't want to go to hell, do you? No. You want to go to heaven? Yes. Okay, let's pray. And prayed a prayer with him. But folks, listen to me. A prayer doesn't save you. Repentance unto salvation saves you. And conviction of sin, followed by a drawing of the Father and an understanding of the gospel and a choice to receive Christ as Savior. And he said he was raised in the church house there, talked by his mother into going a year to Bible college, liked it, got involved with the ministries there. Next thing you know, found himself in the ministry himself, in the youth ministry, and then as a pastor later on, lost. He would get into situations where he'd be in special meetings, even at his own church, and get under conviction of sin. And you know what the devil was setting his shoulder and telling him? Listen, you're the preacher, or you're the youth pastor. You've got a bus round. What in the world do these people think of you if you walk forward and get saved? He said, I did that for 10 years. He was at a church camp, and he was wasn't preaching. He was at a church camp taking his teens there and was listening to a preacher. And he said, the preacher preached on hell. And he said at the end of the invitation, he said, the preacher that was preaching said, I don't know why God wants me to say this, but I'm going to say it. There's a preacher here that's lost and needs to get saved. Now, who in the world says that? I've given thousands of invitations in my life. I've never said that. And he said, I don't know why I needed to say that, but I knew it. Now, this is the funny part of the story. And you ought to watch him tell the story. I just ought to bring him here one of these days. I'm sure it's this morning. His wife, sitting over there on the side, sitting with the girls over here, guys over there, you know. His wife turns around and says, that's you. Oh, I was laughing so hard I almost fell off my chair, you know. How many of you have a wife that wants to play the Holy Spirit sometime? All right, anyway. But we, I think he lived with the, she lived with the guy, knew he was probably lost, you know. But he'd been discussing it with her, and I think had shared from time to time that he was doubting his salvation. He said, the problem is it made me mad. He said that she did that. And he said, maybe it's you. You know, and they're back and forth during the invitation. And he was didn't go forward, didn't get saved, got in his bus the next morning, take his teens home. All the kids fell asleep. The wife fell asleep. He fell asleep driving the bus. Almost ran off, almost hit a bridge, woke up at the last second. And he said, scared everybody, sorry, I'm awake now. And he said, if it had been no clearer than if a voice had spoken from heaven, he said, I heard God in that moment say, that was your last chance. He said, I got to the church house, pulled in, parked the bus, didn't say hi to any of the parents, walked right into the church house, went right to the altar, fell down and confessed my sins under a Holy Spirit conviction. Pleaded and asked God to save me. Listen, folks, what I'm saying is this. You know what? We could go there. The Bible says there's going to be people standing at the last day saying, have we not prophesied in thy name? You know what that? I mean, we preached. We preached your name, Jesus. We preached your name, God. And so it's not spiritual activity that gets you saved. It's a true Holy Spirit conversion. What I'm saying is this. I'm not trying to get anybody to doubt their salvation. I'm trying to get you to examine yourself. The Bible says, examine yourself. And everybody ought to do that. Are you sure that you're saved? Well, I'm not 100% sure, but preacher, I'm going to get saved before Jesus comes. The Bible says that he'll come in the twinkling of an eye. That literally means the speed of light. It's the time it takes light from reflect to from the surface of the eye. And I looked this up one time. The twinkle of an eye. Did a look up into, is it Wikipedia? Is that Wikipedia on the computer? Which, you know, everything on the internet's true. And so Wikipedia, in the definition of a twinkle, I like this. I've read it before here, but I laugh every time I read this. They scientists are so good at explaining things. There are three portions of time to consider here. The wink, the blink, and the twink. That's deep stuff right there. Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? A blink is a controlled movement of the eye, and so its length of time is indeterminate. but the quickest blink lasts about for half a second. A blink is a reflex action of the eye. It lasts somewhere between 300 and 400 milliseconds. A twink is a reflected particle of light seen in the eye and thus travels at the speed of light, which is 983,571,056 feet per second. And it goes on to say that this ends up being about a billionth of a second is what it ends up being. Literally, I like this. Literally, Jesus, the light of the world, will descend to the clouds with a shout, call out the Christians who were left here to be the light of the world, calls us out of this world at the speed of light. We will ascend to the clouds to meet the Lord in the air at over 983 million feet per second. Not miles per hour, feet per second. That's over 186,282 miles per second. And you're going to get saved at the last moment, though. No, you're not. No, you're not. You know what you ought to do? You ought to get saved when God speaks to your heart, when God convicts you of sin. You don't know if you're going to have another chance. You want to be saved. You don't know for sure that you're saved. Are you ready for the rapture? Preacher, you've preached these type of things before, I know, but you know what? We're closer now. Jesus is coming back. We're closer now. You must be saved to be ready. I wonder if there's a young lady or a young man. I feel just led of God to stop here a minute and just appeal to you. Listen, it doesn't matter if your mom and dad's saved. One man said this, one evangelist said this, God has no grandchildren. God has no grandchildren. You know what? Just because mom and dad's saved, you have to be born again. You have to become a child of God. Are you getting this? Do you know for sure that if you died, you'd go to heaven? Do you know that for sure? Are you ready for the rapture? You must be saved to be ready. Go to Mark chapter 8, if you will. Mark chapter 8. Not only must you be saved to be ready, you must be serving to be ready. Now let's talk about those of us that are saved. Well, preacher, I'm saved, so I'm ready. Are you? Are you really ready to meet the Lord? I'm not saying will you be taken. I'm saying do you want to meet Him in the condition that you're in, doing what you're doing for Him? Mark chapter 8, verse 34, and when He had called the people unto Him with His disciples also, He said unto them, whosoever will come after Me, here it is. Here's what we need to be doing. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for My sake, for the gospel's, the same shall save it. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for a soul? Watch verse 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of Me and of My words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when He cometh in the glory of His Father with the holy angels. He says, I'm going to come back. He said, there'll be some taken, but they'll be ashamed at His coming, because on this earth they're ashamed of Him. On this earth they're ashamed of His words. Let me ask you something. Are you busy serving? I want to redirect your attention back to verse 34. I just want to say this. This is a whole sermon in itself. I'm not going to dwell or break it down, but I do want to say this. Notice verse 34, in the middle of the verse. Whosoever will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. Folks, listen to me. You know who the Christians are that are going to be glad at His appearing and are going to love His appearing? Those who have decided not just to be saved, but to be disciples of Jesus Christ, busy doing the Lord's work. Here's the qualifications for discipleship. Denying yourself, taking up your cross, following Christ. I got to thinking about this and my heart's so burdened, and I'm watching, it seems like fewer and fewer as my years go by, Christian young people growing up in good churches and really deciding that they're going to become disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm saying they're not choosing to be discipled. You think about what Satan has done here. He's taken every one of these character traits, these qualifications, and he's raised up a generation that refuses. Matter of fact, they detest the idea of these things. Let him deny himself in this me first world, this selfish generation. I don't want anybody to deny me of anything. If I want it, I should have it. If I don't want to do something, I shouldn't have to do it. That's the mentality of the culture. It's all about me. I took a picture, and I had a hard time figuring out how to do it, but I got my phone out the other day, and I took a picture with it. Did you hear me, folks? I got my phone out. Jerry Ross took his phone out after several minutes, finally pushed the right button, and all of a sudden I could see something, and it looked like it was moving, and so I looked, and it. I think I took a picture. I can't find it. It's in... I think it's in my phone somewhere. I'm not sure where, but I'll have some third grader show me after the service how to find that thing. But I took a picture, and I don't do that. But we were, me and my wife was coming out of Walmart. God help us, coming out of Walmart, and I opened the back of the Jeep, started putting groceries in. There's a van sitting over here, and it had two stickers on one on the back gate. Two stickers, one here and one right above it. And the bottom sticker caught my eye because it says, Jesus, big giant thing about that big, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Well, amen, amen, that's good. And then I look above it and there's another sticker. Now it's got this little obnoxious white bunny rabbit. Yeah, you know the bunny rabbit, you know. It's a little obnoxious white cartoon bunny rabbit there. And it's right above the Jesus is Lord. And this bunny rabbit sitting there, and it's got three little balloons above it where, you know, it's saying different things. And it says three things. It's all about me. Did you hear what I said? Me, 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 me. And I took my phone out. And I took a picture of the 21st century Christian. Come on. Come on. Jesus is Lord. Glad I'm saved. Oh, by the way, preacher, it's all about me, just in case you've forgotten. It's all about me and mine. Jesus is Lord, though, but me, 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 me. And we don't have disciples. We don't have disciples. You know what? In order to be ready, you have to be willing to deny yourself. And now that I've said that, let me say this. I want to thank the Lord for the army of people and the group of young people rising up through this church that get this. There's still young people that say, you know what, I'm not going to live my life. Did you get verse 35? Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. It's my life. I'm not giving it to God. You'll lose it. You're going to lose your life. You're going to lose it. It's what the Bible says. You won't give it, you'll lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. It's crazy. The people that want to be selfish and keep their life, God makes sure you lose it. The people that lose their life, God says, I'll make sure that you save it. And so you don't win by denying God, but still in our selfishness. You know, we've got a selfish, watch this, we've got a selfish society. We've got a lazy society, take up his cross. And we've got a rebellious society, follow me. Now you take those three things, those three elements, and you destroy them in the culture, watch this, and then destroy them in the church. Where are the disciples? Where is the army of workers? Where's the army of soul winners? Where's the army of children's workers and bus workers? You know what? If you're going to serve the Lord, you have to be willing to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Christ. And yet we have a me-first society, a lazy society. If it's hard, I don't want to do it. I don't want to have to carry something hard. Folks, the old rugged cross is rugged. It's rugged. That means it's hard. I mean, it chafes you sometimes. Well, I'll serve the Lord as long as everything goes my way. First time things get a little tough or abrasive, then I'm dropping the cross and walking off and blaming everybody else. Come on. Come on. Guess what serving the Lord is? It's tough sometimes. It's hard. Okay? It is. I'm just telling you. And then Jesus said, follow me. No, I want to do my own thing, go my own way, and there's where we're at. Now listen, folks. Whosoever therefore, verse 38, shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. I'm going to tell you something. We better think about this. I think we've just talked ourselves into something that's not very true. Well, I don't care as long as I get to go to heaven. I mean, I'm saved. I got my life insurance or my fire insurance policy, and I'm good to go, and I'm saved, and you know what? As long as I get to heaven, I'll be happy. Ask the Apostle Peter. Ask the Apostle Peter when he betrayed Jesus 3 times. Jesus turned around and looked into him, and he looked in the eyes of Christ. The Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. You know, there's a reason that God's going to have to wipe away all tears from our eyes. We're going to, in that moment, looking in the eyes of a Savior who gave everything for us, and all of our excuses and reasons why we would not give everything to him is going to seem so petty and so ridiculous and so foolish when we're standing on the brink of eternity. God unveils to us what we could have accomplished, what we could have done with our lives had we not been selfish. And so, folks, if we're going to be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ, then we need to be serving. We need to be soul winning. We need to be going after souls for Christ. I think it was last Saturday, and Tab, I'm sorry if I've got the date wrong, but I'll tell you what, we've been like ships passing in the night, and haven't got to sit down and talk to her about this, but on Saturday I was out on visitation, I think it was last Saturday, and felt my phone vibrate, and so I got done with the next visit, opened it up, and it was a text from my youngest daughter here, and she texted me and said, "Hey Dad, got my one summer soul." Just got my one summer soul. I'm going to tell you what. I'd rather get a text like that than anything in the world. Come on now. Have you got your summer soul yet, Christian? Preacher, I'll be glad when summer's over and you'll get off this. Well, I'm going to just go tell you to go get a fall soul. Then I'm going to preach a message, one winter soul. I mean, that means 4 times a year. I don't even have to study. I just change the title, preach the same message, man. Get out there in the snow. Get out there. Come on now. Come on. I told you I wouldn't tell you, and I wasn't going to until God answered it. But I, through public preaching and private soul winning, this week I got to see my 100th soul this summer come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, yeah, I'm going to tell you something. There's a part of Jerry Ross that'd rather just take the summer off and spend extra time with my baby girl. Okay? But there is a hell. And there's a rapture. And me and baby girl's going to be able to spend time in eternity together. Are you getting this? Don't think it doesn't cost something. It costs something. But preacher, not now. I've got this going. You're always going to have something going. There's always going to be something. There's always going to be a reason not to. God broke my heart, and I was preparing that message, and he said, "If you could tell them to claim one, can't you claim 100? I said, "I don't know, God. I don't know if I can see 100 people saved this summer." And God's let me watch through some of the traveling and also here in our church here, through soul winning, personal soul winning. I got to see my 100th convert this. Are you bragging? No, I'm telling you this because I'm trying to light a fire under some of you. Some of you can go a year and not even witness to somebody. You can go a year and not even hand a tract out. You can text 1,000 words and not witness one time. Okay, you can gossip, you know, a truckload of gossip a week, but you can't stop a lost sinner and tell them about Jesus. Come on now. Jesus is coming back. I don't just say it. I believe it. I believe it. This is what I've given my life to. Getting people ready. Getting the gospel out. Hey, not because I'm a preacher, because I'm a Christian. That's why I've given my life to it. God's so good. I told him, I said, "I'll pray in secret." And you said you'd reward me openly, so I prayed in secret. And I just wanted to stop and praise the Lord for a minute. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I remember as a young teenage boy listening to John Himes down in the room and him talking about winning somebody to Christ. I remember this used to be my prayer as a young man. God, could I one time in my life just see one person saved? That was the scope of my vision at that time. You say, "Preacher, I've never seen anybody saved." Why don't you get that burden? Just ask God for your first soul. You might be surprised what God lets you do if you just decide you're going to get the first one. Whew. Amen. Are you ready for the trumpet? Are you ready for the trumpet? Are you ready for the trumpet? You must be saved to be ready. Number two, you must be serving to be ready. I'm going to go ahead and take you there. Go back to 2 Peter chapter 3. This ties right into our Sunday school lesson. But folks, you must be sanctified to be ready. Sanctified to be ready. You know, one of the reasons that God gave us the doctrine of the rapture of the church, God set it up this way, is to encourage us to be ready. In 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 10, please listen to the words of God here. 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? He says, listen, Christ's coming is on his way. He's going to come as a thief in the night. If you don't know when, and you don't know where, and you don't know how, and you don't know the time, don't you think you ought to live your life in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. I think God set it up this way, where his coming's a secret, because you know what? He wants to keep us on our toes. He wants us to live right. He wants us to live clean. Listen, Christians, listen. Don't listen. Do you really want to be sitting in that bar when Jesus comes back? Come on. Think about it. You really want to be sitting in that movie house when Jesus comes back? You want to be lounging down at the public pool when Jesus comes back? You see, folks, you get sold on the idea of Christ's return. I won't have to do a whole lot of preaching on separation around here. Some of you that don't get this, you don't get it because you don't live in expectation of his coming. I don't think there's anything wrong with this. I don't think there's anything wrong with this. All right, all those things. You want to do that, be doing that, be there when Jesus comes back. That's where you want to be. That's what you want to be doing. You know what? I want to look like I ought to look when Jesus comes back. I want to be wearing what I ought to be wearing when Jesus comes back. I want to be thinking what I ought to be thinking when Jesus comes back. I want to be saying what I ought to be saying when Jesus comes back. I want to be doing what I want to be doing when Jesus comes back. And by the way, let me just share this with you folks. This whole idea of winning souls to Jesus Christ, you know what? It's hard to do if you're a dirty vessel. You just get sold out and excited about getting people saved. And you know what? I mean, get excited about it. See, some of you decided, boy, that one summer soul sounds pretty good. And you tried a few times and nothing's happened yet. But have you been listening to the Holy Spirit of God? You see, when you decide that you want something from God, a lot of times what he'll do is tell you he wants something from you. Lord, I want to win my neighbor to Christ. Well, I do. I want that neighbor saved too. By the way, God's not willing that any should perish. All come to repentance. He wants that soul saved worse than you want that soul saved. But you know what? He's going to start confronting you about some things. You see, he's going to say, well, if you want to see that person saved that's next door to you that's watching your life, maybe you ought to eliminate this, this, and this. Okay? A little hard to witness to the neighbor next door, ma'am. Are you listening to me? A little hard to witness to the neighbor next door on Thursday if on Wednesday you were at the back fence gossiping with her. Hard to witness to, come on, mister, sir, listen to him. Hard to witness to that co-worker on Wednesday if on Tuesday you were listening to the same dirty joke he was listening to. Okay, looking at the same dirty pictures he was looking at. Your testimony don't carry much weight. I mean, it's just not going to matter. They're not going to believe you. They're going to think you're a hypocrite. And so the whole idea of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ motivate us to live a clean and holy life before God. Are you ready for the trumpet? Are you ready if Jesus were to come? I read a story from an evangelist. Let me close with this. Look right up here. Let me have your attention. He was taking a tour years ago of the Henry Ford plant, yeah, up in Detroit, Michigan. He said he was in the back where there was the scrap pile, the excess pieces of metal, and he watched one of those huge cranes come over. And it came upon a pile of metal, and they activated the magnet and that huge magnet and all of the steel and metal went flying up and it grabbed a bunch of that. He said as it began to lift it, he noticed there was pieces of what he thought was steel that began to fall off of there. And he said once they moved it away, he said to the man, why didn't those pieces, why didn't they go with that? He said, let me show you. And he walked over from a distance. It all looked like steel, but when they got there, what he saw was two broom handles and a couple old 2x4s. And you know what the man said? He said, those things don't have the right components to go with the rest that was taken. And the Holy Spirit of God is the right component. Let me say this. Have you been truly saved? Do you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Nothing more important in the world going on right now than this invitation, especially for those of you that may not be saved. If you died right now, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Do you know for sure that you go to heaven? You know that for sure? Preacher, I don't know that for sure. We have men here at the front. If you'll simply, in just a moment, when we begin the invitation, stand to your feet and we'll begin to have the piano play in just a moment. We would ask, if you're here without Christ as your Savior, that you'd come. Step from your pew to the nearest aisle, come up here, just come to talk to one of these two men and just tell them, I need to be saved. If you're a lady, they'll get a lady to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're a man, they'll get a man to take the Bible. If you're a youngster, we want to help you. Please know that you're ready for the rapture of the church. How about it? Let me just get a little personal here. How about it? If you died right now, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? During this message, has the Holy Spirit been convicting your heart that you're lost? Are you convicted of your sin? Preacher, if I was to die right now, I cannot say 100% sure that I'd go to heaven. I'm struggling with doubts, or maybe you know that you're not saved. I want to pray for you. I promise you this, I won't embarrass you. I won't call your name. I won't come get you or send somebody else to come get you. We don't do that here, but I will pray for you. Preacher, if I was to die right now, I'm not sure that I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me because God is working in my heart. Please pray for me. Would you slip your hand up so I can pray for you? I'm not sure if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. Anybody here, I'm just not sure about that. I'm going to be honest with you, preacher. I'm not sure about that. I'd like to talk to somebody about it. I need to know that for sure. Anyone at all? Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd use the message to stir our hearts. I pray, God, that you would... Lord, help us as Christians to be stirred and, Lord, changed in this matter of being ready for the coming of Christ. Give us a burden for souls. Help us, dear God, to be busy serving the Lord. Help us to be busy, dear God, in getting the gospel to those that so desperately need it. I pray that you would, please, Lord, cleanse us and sanctify us. Convict us of sin. Help us, dear God, to become dissatisfied with where we are in our Christian life. And help us to be energized to become more for you. Use this message, dear God, to help the church, we pray. In Jesus' name.